coming up on this episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
I don't know, but you have to ask yourself the question, why do some people make it and some people don't make it? And I really believe it has a lot to do with tenacity.
Frank's a singer, too. Maybe you guys can give us a tune later.
Oh, my gosh. That's... No. Stop it.
The guy hires me, but I don't know how to do half of the stuff he wants me to do. So bullet holes, blood, all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'll get Bob to come work on the movie with me.
That podcast is coming right up. First up, let me tell you about a couple of our resource partners. So almost every week of my life for the last 2 years, somebody will ask me about the retreat that changed my life. And I'm so proud to present Spirit Quest as one of our official resource partners. Founded in 2007, it's the holistic wellness center that changed my life, helped me overcome anxiety, helped me work through conflict, gave me all these tools to manage stress, and they would love to do the same thing for you. To connect to Spirit Quest, click the link on our resources tab at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com. And when you get on the phone with them, make sure you mention that you heard it on Learn From People Who Lived It. One of our proud resource partners is Eric's House. Here's the deal. Nothing quite prepares us for the heartache of a profound loss. And grief isn't a problem to be fixed, but rather a normal reaction to loss. So when somebody you love dies, it might feel like everything you once knew as true has changed. When we experience that loss, especially the ones that are really unexpected, like suicide or addiction, grief is complicated. That's where the community at Eric's House comes in. Link to them on the resources page at learnfrompeoplewholivedit.com.
Find Learn From People Who Lived It wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word, Learn From People Who Lived It.
Welcome to another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It.
Hi, I'm Annie Mayo, and I am 50 plus years age.
What story are you here to share today?
So I'm here to share a story of when you think of something when you're younger, or even if you're my age, and you think, oh, that's completely impossible. I could never do that. And I want you to know that that is possible. You can do anything that you want to do as long as you set your mind to it. There are only boundaries that you set in your own mind for yourself. And don't listen to anybody else when they tell you, oh, that's too hard, or, you know, you can't do that, or you're too old. I want to tell people that none of that stuff is true.
This is going to be a good conversation today, Frank.
I'm fired up already.
Yeah, me too. So here's the final question for you, Annie. As you get ready to unload all this, who do you hope hears this?
I really hope everybody hears it. I mean, the entrepreneur, the housewife, it really pertains to everybody on what you can do with your life and how you can really change your thinking, change your life. That's my saying. I wish that more people could just live by that. Do I live by it 100%? Do I fall off the boat sometimes? Yes. But I really try to stay structured in that, because I really believe your thoughts really convey to other people and to yourself what you can do.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, all right, man, this is going to be a spirited episode. Here we go. Dr. Frank Bavacqua at the bottom of the screen. How's your day going so far, pal?
So far, so good.
Yeah, till I came along?
No, you make everything better.
Come on, man. Are you
That's unbelievable.
Because I will cry if you mean that.
Most of the time I mean it.
Yeah. Look at us.
That one's perfect.
Annie is our guest today. I learned from people who lived it, and I'm excited to jump in this story. I don't really know where this is going to go, but I have a feeling there's going to be some great nuggets kind of dropped along the way, given everything that you mentioned up front, right? And I'm sure you're going to be filling in the blanks, so to speak, as we jump into this conversation. But let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Annie. Dr. Frank, she's been a makeup artist for more than 20 years. She does a lot of commercials. I'm sure she's done some films along the way. And, you know, all along you had these voices in your ear, whether it was family and friends telling you to get a real job or do something meaningful with your life. And I really resonate with your story, because My wife is a very similar story. You know, she wanted to be a hairstylist and that's what she knew she wanted to do. But her family was like, you're going to school first and you're going to do that, you know, and ultimately she did. And it worked out and she's doing hair and she's living her dream and doing all the things that, you know, you kind of talk about. But there is that thing when you go into the arts.
Yeah.
Where there's a little bit of, it's mostly people like Dr. Frank Bavacqua who kind of poo poo on it. And they just have a bad attitude about these types of things. And I wonder if you would speak to that, Dr. Frank Bavacqua. Why is it?
This is clearly a record that we have set on this podcast for the fastest that you have thrown me under a bus.
I'm so kidding, man.
Well, I don't know why someone like me would ever do that, but there are lots of people who poo-poo on ideas all the time. And there's a range of reasons. I really do think that somewhere along the way, people think that they're well-intentioned when they're saying, you know, that's a risky thing, right? Do this other thing, it's safer. I do think that there's some well-intentioned. And then there's folks, I think, who are just kind of jealous, right? They don't want to see you take the risk that maybe they're too scared to take themselves, right? So there's some different reasons why people poo-poo.
I love that answer. Thank you very much for clearing that up, because I think he's absolutely right. And that was kind of your experience, right, Annie? You had people going, I don't know about this.
Yeah, because what I would do is I started off doing films. So I did films for 20 years and I always wanted to get in the business. So I finally got in the business and I started doing films and they just, you know, started to come one after the other. But there was that time where I didn't have any jobs. So it was like, you know, the money only lasted so long and then you had to get your next job, but you never knew where your next job was coming from, which isn't that far away from what I do today, but I subsidized it by creating my own makeup line. That's another story. So they would say, you know, get a job, you know, get a real job. And I really didn't want to work for anybody. The beauty of this business is that you control when you're going to work, where you're going to work. And Matthew, when I've read about you, I saw that you had a job and you really weren't that happy doing the job, AKA, you know, you started the podcast.
Right.
So same thing. I mean, I have a 22-year-old son who's extremely talented. He has a band and everybody in my family says to me, well, how long are you going to let him do this? And I'm like, I'm going to let him do it as long as he wants to do it.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to stifle his creativity because I know what that's like.
That's a shift. That's a shift that's taking place. That's not, you know, this is the old school mentality is the one you're talking about where you have people going, really? But, you know, this is a very different world that we're growing up in now. And that kind of thing actually does have a little bit more of a chance of success. Now, I would caution people as I say that, like, if you're going to go start a band, don't get me wrong. That's an incredible grind. There's a lot of yourself that you have to give up if you really want to make the dream happen. And you really got to do this fine mix of playing ball with doing it your way. And you know, it's a roller coaster, but for those that arrive at the end, it's pretty cool. How old were you, Annie, when you knew that you wanted to go into this field of working in film and TV commercials and doing people's makeup? Like, when did that start for you?
I always, as far back as I can remember, I mean, I literally would watch the Johnny Carson show and I would say, what would I say if I was on the Johnny Carson show? Like, I would do this role play that I'm on the Johnny Carson show and what would he ask me and everything. And then, but the real thing was when I watched my mom do her makeup. My mother is absolutely gorgeous, still beautiful to this day. But I would watch her do her makeup and I would read fashion magazines and I would just look at the makeup and say, you know what? I can do that. And the first job that I ever went on, I'm in cosmetology school, and because I'm a cosmetician and an esthetician. So I go to school because I'm thinking, okay, I'll get more jobs. I'll learn how to cut hair, you know, really didn't learn that much about makeup in cosmetology school, but I had a teacher and his name was, I remember his first name. His first name was Bob. I can't remember his last name. This is many years ago. And I said, hey, if I ever go get a movie and get an interview, would you do it with me? Because he worked on movies when he was younger. So he says, yeah, sure. So I go on this interview and I'm this one of these ninja low budget movies. And the guy hires me, but I don't know how to do half of the stuff he wants me to do. So bullet holes, blood, all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'll get Bob to come work on the movie with me. And so I go back to school and I say, hey, I did this interview and this guy wants to hire us for this movie. Can you do it with me? And he's like, yeah, we'll do it together. So that was my first movie. And it just kind of snowballed from that. But I always wanted to be in the entertainment. I'm a singer also, but never really pursued that creativity part of the singing. But I did for the makeup part.
Frank's a singer too. Maybe you guys can give us a tune later.
Oh my gosh. That's no, stop it.
Okay. Come on, Frank.
We all have talents and singing not one of mine.
I want to harp on something she said that's really freaking fantastic. When we're chasing a dream, we can all admit this, when we're chasing a dream, sometimes we get so stuck on the vision of what it's going to end up being that we, like, if it doesn't happen that way, it won't happen, right? But what was neat about your story, Annie, was like you met somebody, he had some skills that you didn't have, you allowed yourselves to collaborate, and that's the thing that catapulted you into the position that you're in today. And I just thought that, you know, yeah, you went quick over that, but that is worth noting for a lot of people. And Dr. Frank, I'll come to you, the psychologist on this podcast, to say that when you have people in your ear telling you it's not going to happen, how can you turn up the volume on the other side that says it is going to happen and I'll do whatever it takes to make it happen?
So there's, for me, there's always been kind of an interesting mix, because there is some validity to what kind of the naysayers say along the way, right? And we can actually learn from them. You know, even the example that you just used about, you know, trying to make it in a band, right? Well, that requires a whole lot of sacrifice, right? So the people who say, you know, it's really hard, very few people make it, like, that is relevant, right? And so we can take that in and understand from that. What that means is I have to work, you know, harder, faster, longer than other people, right? So I can take that information and I can do something with it. I do think there are some people who are just kind of built to prove people wrong, and that's what gets them excited and out of bed in the morning. The movie Rudy always comes to mind. One of my favorites growing up, still one of my, you know, it's something that I think about a lot whenever I'm in some kind of similar situation, not trying to play college football, but, you know, trying to do something.
Trying to save somebody's life.
Man. Yeah. You know, something, just everyday stuff.
Yeah.
But even like, if you go back to that movie, like even he had, you know, one or two friends along the way who were kind of on his side, who believed in him and who kind of pumped him up. Right. So we can take good information from the naysayers. We can get motivated by people telling us you can't do it. It is really helpful to have one or two people along the way who's kind of on our side, on our team, who also think that, you know, you can be successful. So it is, it's kind of a mix of all those things. I don't think we ever just want to shut something completely out, but yeah, at the end of the day, the first thing that you tell yourself in the morning and the last thing at night has to be like, yes, I can. And all the other stuff that happens in between, you know, deal with it as it comes.
Annie, talk to us about your support team. What were they doing for you in those early days? That was completely what you needed.
Oh, in the early days, yeah. I can't tell you that they were really supportive.
Really? I mean, so you just grinded this thing out.
I just knew that I wanted to do it. And I went out and I found the people that wanted to hire me. So that might sound weird, because one time I was working on this movie and I'm in a production meeting, and I think it was maybe, I don't know, my third or fourth movie. And the producer that hired me I can't remember what we were talking about, but I do remember his response. And he said, I said something like, well, isn't anybody going to ask me or whatever? I can't remember. But he says, oh, well, you're just another pretty face, he said to me. I'll never forget he said that to me. Now, I don't know why I remember that, but that's what he said to me. And I was like, wow, that's not very nice. But then I realized that really the people that are in the movie and TV commercial business, that's a whole nother world. I mean, and it's going back to what you said about the when you asked the doctor about creative people, professional people, not that we're not creative, but we think differently. Our minds think differently. A beautician, a makeup artist, a graphic, our minds just think different than a regular person. So I think that allows us the beauty of, if we really put our mind to it, that we can make it. But I don't know, but you have to ask yourself the question, why do some people make it and some people don't make it? And I really believe it has a lot to do with tenacity. That gentleman that I just mentioned to you, the producer, I said, well, why did you hire me? And he said, because you called me every day. It was your tenacity. And as you can see, I'm not really a shy person. So I just believe you got to put yourself out there. You got to go after what you want and really have the tenacity and show people, and they'll see that and they'll want to hire you.
Yeah. How much it's like, this is a metaphor for life, isn't it, Dr. Frank? I mean, I'm thinking as she's talking, number one, you're both things. You're brilliant creatively and brilliant the other way. So you got all the skills. God graced you, man. He put his hand on you. You know that, right?
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you, dude.
See, I'm not used to the compliments from you. So I figured you were talking to our guest. That made a whole lot more.
No, you got all the talents, man. You're good to go. All right. Anyways, as she's talking, I'm like, this is a metaphor for life. This is a metaphor for life, what she's talking about right here. And this could be applied to, you know, we talk about a lot about mental health on this podcast, and we talk an awful lot about trauma. And I would argue that quip from that director to you, Annie, like, clearly that still plays in the back of your head. Like, so that leaves those marks that we talk about on this show, you know, all the time. And you just kind of have to keep going. You have to be so tenacious with your movements that you get yourself out of those ruts, because when you get stuck and the self-talk starts and the value starts to crumble, I mean, you know, then it's going to be really tough to chase your dreams or really see anything through. You want to add anything to that, Dr. Frank?
I mean, I there's two types of people.
Here we go.
At least two types. When someone says, no, you can't, or any other similarly negative comment, right? There are the people who go, maybe he's right. And the people who go, watch me. Mm-hmm. And I think therein lies the difference. There was I saw it on a TED Talk years ago, talking about kind of one of the key factors in terms of, you know, who's successful and who's not. And the personality characteristic that it came down to was grit, determination, tenacious. What, you know, there's a lot of similar words you can put to that, but essentially the people who are the most successful typically have the thing in common that they didn't give up at a million points where they could have. Now, unfortunately, there are some people who never give up and still don't reach whatever it is that they wanted to reach. That is true too. So just not giving up is not a guarantee of success, but giving up along the way is a guarantee that you won't be successful.
I'm going to clip that up, and that's probably going to be at the very front of this podcast. Well said, sir. Yeah. Annie, you jumped into a really wild industry, the film industry and the movie industry and TV commercials. Like, that's a whole other animal. And for anybody who's ever touched the entertainment industry, they know exactly what we're talking about. If there was, and I know you're kind of still in it, but is there a lesson that you've picked up along the way about, because a lot of people have the dream you have, Annie. A lot of people would love to do makeup and movies. Like, what a freaking rad job you have, and we totally have to ask you what movies you've done makeup in, but is there a lesson that you've learned that you picked up along the way that would be valuable to somebody getting started?
I mean, it just goes back to never give up. And if you really want it, just learn how to go after. See, because in the beginning, you have to go after the jobs. Now, I've been doing it for so long, people are coming to me to do makeup. That doesn't mean I never have to go after a job that comes in. But I guess what I'm saying is my name is known. You know, hey, call Annie. And I'm not the only person that does this in town. There are many other people. But it seems like I've been very successful in that area where people now come to me.
And I love that.
Yeah, and there was something that I was going to say. Oh, I know. I think you have to ask yourself, what is the definition of success to you? I mean, what is it? And going back to my son, you know, they say, well, what's the definition of success? Mm. My definition for him would be just to have a great life, to do what he loves, and to have enough money to enjoy it, but not super abundance, or that he's doing a job that he really doesn't like, and he gives up his dream. So what, I guess you have to ask yourself, what is your definition of success? And if it's all about the money, then yeah, go get a job that they're going to give you a 401k and all that stuff. But if it's not, and you just want to enjoy your life, and before you die, say, boy, I had a great life. And I really lived my life the way I wanted to live it. Then that's successful. Not all the money you have in the bank.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Dr. Frank, let's dissect that just a little bit, because the definition of success, we don't say this enough to people, but it's going to shift. It's going to change over the years. It's going to start off being one thing when you're 16. And, it's like when you're 16, like, what's the definition of success? I want to get a car and I want to get a girlfriend. All right, cool. Check, right? And then you get like to college and you're like, you know, I want to grab that degree, or I want to graduate and get into a trade school and start shifting into my space, and I want to work for a big company. And then that becomes the focus. And then if you're lucky enough to have children, we all are here, then your version of success is going to shift again. And it's going to continue to do that if you're doing it the right way all the way till you're dead. That's my perspective on it. But Dr. Frank, I'll let you add some value to that.
Yeah, I think there's a sort of natural progression that most people go through in terms of, at different points in their life, the things that are important to them. I think some people accelerate that. And what I mean by that is, I think some people figure it out earlier that it's not just about, you know, money and cars and, you know, the MTV VH1 music video scene type of success, right? Like when you're younger, that's what living the life is. You know, and there are some people who, you know what, they go for that. That's fine. But I think most of us, you know, we move on to something else. And I think some people move on faster, some people move on a little slower. But there are some differences across people still too, right? There are some people who later in life, money is the most important thing. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Maybe they're trying to build generational wealth for their family. Like that's a huge deal. You know, for some people they really love their job and career. Some people don't necessarily love a job or career, and their goal is to work as little as possible. Sometimes I sneak into that category too, right? Like I love some things that I do.
You stole it from me, man. You didn't give me a chance to shoot my shot there.
I mean,
ready, man. Go.
I enjoy the things that I do, and I try to only involve myself in the things, you know, that I like doing.
You have excellent boundaries. Yes.
Yeah. That's why I show up a minute or two late to things sometimes. But like I don't know. Like, I can't fill 50 hours a week of work of things that I enjoy doing every single one of those 50 hours, right? I can fill 20 pretty good with some things that I really like doing, but probably not 50, right? And so my goal of success is, can I, you know, can I, you know, attain a certain financial level while only doing the things that I like doing and not having to do too much of it, right? And that's kind of what my montage of success has started to look like for me. It looks different for different people.
Yeah.
I want to go to our guest, Annie, and ask you a couple of harder questions now. Like, throughout your career, everybody knows that that entertainment industry is a roller coaster ride. Can you tell us about the first time you hit a low or a big old bump and what that looked like?
Ooh, a big old bump. I mean, I think it's when you finish one film and you're trying to get on the next one, or you're just trying to get another commercial, and it can sometimes be discouraging because you hear, other people may have gotten the job and maybe you didn't. That's a little discouraging. But a bump, I'm trying to think of, so what do you mean by a bump? Tell me.
Well, I guess it would be something like a director saying, you know, you're just another pretty face. I mean, or you work in the entertainment industry and you're working with, and I don't care what anybody says, you're working with people who have suffered some traumatic damage along the way. And I'm somebody who was in the entertainment industry for 27 years. I can speak to this. We're all a little broken that way. And that's why we seek the attention. And I don't think I'm saying anything that anybody doesn't understand. But, you know, so you're surrounded by folks who on any given moment, at least was my experience, can be Jekyll and Hyde. And yes. there can be a turn of events and you never like, holy smokes. So did you ever have to deal with any really difficult people, any challenging bosses, any challenging actors who really tested you? That's a bump.
Well, you know, that's why I really switched to commercials, because see, when I do a commercial, I'm only on the set for 2 to 3 days. If I don't like the people I'm working with, that's adios amigos. I never have to see them again.
Yeah, good plan.
So with films, when you're a makeup artist, you are the first person that the actor sees when they come in. So you are kind of like a psychologist for that person. Mm. So
get
they
that, Frank?
Went out the night before, they had a fight with their boyfriend, they, you know, whatever that happened in their life. So you're not just their makeup artist, you're a psychologist with them. So you have so many other hats that you have to wear, including making them look good. So you just learn how to work with people that have huge egos, and you just, you know, you have to learn when to sit back and when to say something. So you just have to learn. That's part of the business, on how you learn. I mean, I guess a bump would be, I was working on this movie and I really didn't get along with that, because I was second makeup on this movie when I first started. So you have your head of your department, and then there was me, and then we had one other makeup artist. Well, I guess this makeup artist, I was a little sarcastic when I was young. So I guess she really didn't appreciate that. So then the producer calls me into the makeup trailer and he says, I don't think this is really working out. And I'm like, what do you mean? So this is like my second movie. So I'm so excited to be there. Like, and just have the job. So he says, I think we're going to have to let you go.
What?
So I start crying. And the producer feels so bad that I'm crying that he tells me, oh, no, wait, you can stay. He says, it's funny because this happened so many years ago. So I ended up staying, and this was like one of the biggest movies that I ever worked on. So I guess you would call that a bump, but I navigated my way around it.
Seems to have worked out in your favor too.
Seems to have worked out in my favor.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, there's something to be said for what what keeps happening to you. Like you seemingly have some wins that you've put together. That's the reason you're here, to have this conversation about why some people make it and why some people don't. And you're clearly in your lane. You're clearly in your path. You're clearly doing the thing that the Japanese refer to as the ikigai, right? Where all three things come together and it's amazing. I did want to open it up an opportunity for Frank to announce his new makeup business, seeming like you're the psychologist, Frank, so maybe you could start doing makeup too.
Yes.
And you could double charge.
Yes. Yes. My new slogan is, we will change you from the inside out.
Ooh. What do you think? Maybe a partnership with Annie, and they're just in the chair. They're talking to you, Frank. They're working out their life story. Annie's over there making them put bullet holes in their chins and cheeks and, you know, all the cool shit she knows how to do. I think that's incredible.
I still don't do the special effects that good, just a little bit, but I did get through that one movie.
Yeah, you did. All right. Let's talk about, something that you are going to be able to help us understand. And this is, to me, like, I just turned 50 this past week. And to me, the best part about getting older is the knowledge that I've accumulated along the way. And so since you've been in your career for 20 plus years, we have an opportunity to learn from people who lived it. Thus the name of our podcast. And so, have you always had the same operating system from the time you were a teenager or a 20-year-old as you did in your 30s, as you did in your 40s, as now you do in your 50s? Or if not, what has shifted for you and what have you come to understand? Are there things that you used to make a big deal about that you don't make a big deal about anymore?
Yes.
Some of that stuff, right? Some of that don't sweat the small stuff kind of conversation. What have you learned along the way that's worth hanging on to and what's not?
Just be good at what you do, show up on time, and be calm. Because I always say, we're not curing cancer, we're doing somebody's makeup and we're making a commercial. So it's just being comfortable with yourself and not being afraid to speak up. Because I think when I was younger, I was like, I can't talk to the director. You know, it's like, you know, you're afraid of them. Now I'll walk up to the director and ask them questions or whatever, but I think it's just being comfortable in what you're doing and knowing that you're good enough that somebody can't really, there's nothing you can't throw at me on a set that I can't improvise, because I've been pretty much in every situation. So if I take that, what I've learned from the set, and I apply it toward life and just living, it's the same thing. It's just, you're not on the movie set. So what can you throw at me that I can't say, okay, here's what I need to do. How do I solve the problem? You know, and not be a complainer. I mean, everybody complains, but how do you not be a chronic complainer? Because that doesn't help anything. It goes back to the way you think. Your thoughts are what you become. So if I always think I'm going to fail, if I always think, I'm not going to make enough money or whatever that it may be, that is going to happen to me. So I try to really just keep my thoughts on track and what I'm doing and how being a problem solver.
How can we apply what she just said, Dr. Frank Bavakwa, the psychologist on the podcast? How can we apply that to, you know, Jenny and Gilbert, who's the mom of three kids and life just gets super hard for her? Or, you know, the dad with three young kids and life just is very challenging and tough, and they just feel like they can't adapt anymore. It feels like it's overwhelming.
Yeah. And I think I've used this analogy on one of our podcasts so many seasons ago. But I'm going to use it again because it's relevant, and there may have been people who didn't hear it the first time. But,
yeah,
you know, I think back to driver's ed when I was trying to get my license. And, you know, one of the phrases that stuck with me from the instructor way back then was you steer where you stare. And the warning was like, if you're driving along and let's say someone or something catches your eye on the sidewalk while you're trying to drive straight, if you stare at that person or thing on the sidewalk long enough, you will kind of like unconsciously drift toward the side of the road and you may, you know, end up hitting a curb, whatever. So essentially, like, look where you're going, right? Like, let's not be distracted by things on the side. But I've used that phrase so much because our thoughts are kind of that roadmap for what we're looking out for, right? And you steer where you stare, meaning the things I tell myself are the things that I'm going to look for in terms of, you know, confirmation out in that world, right? There's a ton of it when it comes to, you know, making money. You know, if I believe things like money is scarce, making money is hard, no one in my family has ever been wealthy, I'll never be wealthy, I'll never get out of this apartment, any of those things, right? If you tell yourself those things, yeah, you will constantly look for evidence to support and confirm the thing that you believe. Which is why the thing that you tell yourself is so important, because you will look for evidence to confirm whatever it is that you believe. And that's why, like, there, you know, repeating those mantras in the mirror of like, I will be successful, or I am beautiful, or whatever those things that feel really, really awkward and awful and hard when you say it the first time because you don't believe it. But literally, if you do those things every day for 6 months, you will, like, you'll trick yourself into believing it, and then you'll find the evidence to actually support it, and then it will become true. Like, all of that crap is as foo-foo as it sounds, like, it literally works.
What do you want to add to that, Annie?
Yeah, I totally agree with what the doctor said. I mean, it's your thoughts, what you become, what you think of. And I used to train with he still trains now, but he moved way north, Scottsdale. But he's, I think he's a 10th or, is there possible to be a 12th degree black belt? Is that right?
Or who knows? Might be asking the wrong person.
Whatever the highest black belt is, this guy is. And he would, it's the discipline, you know, it's the discipline in your life. And that's what he taught me, and how to be disciplined, and really how to take a quantum leap in your life instead of just taking a small leap. And how do you get, I don't want to get to the next level. I don't want to just go this far. I want to go this far. So how do I do that? And I think I do that with my thoughts and then with my work ethic and the people that surround me.
Community. And
having just positive people around you. That's 100%. How you'll take that quantum leap.
To me, that's one of the biggest ingredients of a limited belief system. And Dr. Frank, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit deeper about what you just were kind of addressing, mm-hmm. you know, because there are folks who are in a situation and they think, I'm never going to get out of it. It's never going to shift. It's never going to change. And then so on the outside, we would say, you know, well, that's a pretty limited set of beliefs there, buddy. you can aim higher than I'm never going to get out of this place.
Yeah.
But most people won't know how to do that. So yeah. How do you advise people go about it? Yeah, I should have given you time to prepare for this. Sorry.
It's not so much that, but like the immediate thought that I had when you asked that question is it's not a simple answer, right? And maybe it is kind of a simple answer, but it's not a short answer. And the answer is not short because the process isn't short, right?
Yes.
It's not this thing that you snap your fingers and it happens overnight, no matter what. It is this thing that you are going to have to fight up against whatever that thought is for potentially months or years, right? And it is never too late, but the longer it has been that you have been thinking a certain way about a thing, the longer it's going to take to undo the way you think about that thing. That's why kids are so impressionable, right? And the things that you teach them early on, they kind of accept and they're like, oh, okay. Cause they haven't thought anything else because they haven't been alive for very long. So you can mold young minds a whole lot more easily, right? That whole old dog, new tricks thing. Like you can, it just takes longer. And that's what I said. The answer is not short because the process is not short, but it's pretty straightforward. Like whatever that barrier is, whether it's a thought barrier or an actual barrier, like you have to fight up against it over and over and over and over again. And you will get beaten back, and most people will quit before they kind of break all the way through.
So good. A lot of the stuff we've been talking about is something that was verbally discussed on this other podcast I have called the I Needed That podcast. And we had this woman on named Nicole Vignola, who's a neuroscientist. And she here, I'm just going to play this like a 6-second clip, but it really kind of sums up what we've been saying. Listen.
So if you say to yourself things like I'm not worthy, I'm this and that, your brain's going to find ways to prove that statement to be true.
See that? So that's what we're talking about. And she's giving us that, you know, that scientific answer of if you say it, your brain's going to look for the ways that it's true. So to Dr. Frank's point, like if you're going to wake up every day and say, I'm never going to get rich, I'm never going to get out of this house, I'm never going to get out of this relationship, all day long, your brain's going to prove you right. And conversely, if you say, I'm going to be on movies, I'm going to work on commercials, I'm going to go ahead and do whatever it takes to get to where I want to go, Annie is proof that that is what will happen to you. And so it really does start with that belief system. But boy, you're right, Frank, man, that is a freaking juggernaut to unwrap that thing, especially if you've been swimming in your shit for a long time, right? Like it's so hard to get unstuck.
Well, think about like, we'll use men specifically because the stereotype is really easy for most of us to laugh at. But like, what's
I'm
the
laughing
hardest?
Already.
Yeah. Like what is the hardest thing for one of the hardest things for a guy to do? Like admit that he was wrong, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We could probably say there are some women who struggle with the same thing. Well, either way, right? Admitting you are wrong is hard. And so like, that's just kind of how our brain operates. Our brain doesn't want to be wrong. So again, if we're thinking a certain thing, our brain wants to be right. It wants us to be right. And so we're going to look for things that prove us right. Which is why it's so hard to change our mind about things.
How about that? All right. Well, as we kind of wind down this podcast, I turn to you one last time, Andy, to say, grace us with your knowledge. Is there anything you've left on the table that you were hoping to share with our audience that hasn't come up that you were like, yes, I want to make sure I say this?
Well, I'll talk about my second venture. I was in addition to being a makeup artist about 12 years ago, I quit with another job that I had, that I was a sales representative making over 6 figures. So when I quit, I mean, there was nothing coming in. So my husband says to me, well, why don't you go and start your own line of cosmetics? You know how to do it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't, you know, I was like, I can't do that. I don't know how to do it. But then I thought about it and I thought, you know what? I think I can do this. So he says, I'm going to give you X amount of money and I want you to go out and start your own line. So I did it. That was my second venture because I believed that I could do it. So now 12 years later, I have my own line, shameless plug, Advanced Mineral Makeup.
And there it is.
Yeah. So I did that too. Now, have there been times that I thought to myself, hey, this isn't working out or where are the sales or what? Of course. Everything, I think I want the tidbit that I want people to take away is that even if you do all of these things that we talked about, your life isn't always going to be hunky-dory. I mean, there's always going to be things that come up. It's the way that you handle those things and the way that you talk to people and the way that you use your, that you're always graceful and you're nice and you're not yelling. I think there's always a way to convey points where you don't need to degrade or yell at people. I think it's the way that you handle it. And that's the same thing applies to life. It's all the way you handle the things that are thrown at you that are going to make you a better person and make you grow.
I feel like I'm sitting in one of Frank's chairs. I feel like that's something a psychologist would utter, right, bud?
Maybe I missed my calling. I don't know. Right.
you've done it without the school.
Yeah, she saved years. No, she's so right. Like I think one of the things that I mistakenly thought at some point was that like life could be easy. And don't get me wrong, like if you do certain things right, certain things in your life become easier. But the only way to have a truly easy life is to literally do nothing. Because no matter what you do, like it's hard. I'm going to misquote it. I saw it recently. It was a Nick Saban, Alabama football coach, quote. It was something to the effect of like, you know, the determination and work that goes into being successful is hard. Dealing with not being successful, also hard, right? Either way, it's going to be hard, but choose which hard you're willing to deal with. People who want to lose weight, right? Losing weight is hard. Living a life where you are overweight and unhealthy is also hard. Either way, it's going to be hard. Choose the hard that you're willing to, you know, to live with every day. I think years ago I had this mistaken thought that eventually things get easy, and they don't necessarily, if you're doing it right, they never truly get easy because you're still pushing yourself. You're still doing things that are worthwhile. But I think we can get closer and closer to at least being excited about the things that we're doing, and we can kind of embrace the hard thing that we're working toward.
Yeah, brilliant. I enjoyed the heck out of this podcast today. I want to thank you both for joining us. Annie, congrats on the makeup line. Congrats on all the continued success that you've had throughout your life. It's awesome and refreshing to get somebody on who's just had a bunch of wins, because a lot of folks we talk to, they've been battling their way back from a couple of big losses. And it's kind of refreshing. I don't know if you felt that way too, Dr. Frank, but it's just kind of refreshing to hear about, you know, it's possible. And she's on the screen to say, you can do it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you amazing. So much, Matthew. Thank you, Doctor. It was a pleasure meeting you both.
You bet. Thank you, Annie, for being on Learn from People Who Lived It. Dr. Frank Bavakwa, you have a good day, bud.
You too.
We have three goals with Learn from People Who Lived It. 1, to help you feel less alone. 2, encourage you to seek out a coach, a therapist, a church, anyone who can help you get through your journey and find some healing. 3, when you're ready, share your story with us.
Find Learn from People Who Lived It, wherever you get podcasts. Search it using all one word, Learn from People Who Lived It.